We shall now turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, and we'll consider tonight verses 8 to 11. First Peter chapter 4, we could read from verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. It's important for us to remember verse 7. The end of all things is at hand. Now, if Peter could say that 2,000 years ago, how much more true it must be today. Jesus didn't know the date of the second coming. But one thing we do know is that when he comes, he'll come suddenly. And he'll come as a thief in the night. And that's why it's so important for us to be prepared. Be ye also ready. Written on some gravestones. What a message it is. It's good to be ready. Be ye also ready. Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Keep eternity before your minds. Remember that man, Arthur Stacey, in Sydney, the down and out man who was converted. And then, sometime after that, he heard John Ridley preaching about eternity. Eternity, eternity. I wish I could shout that word in every street in Sydney. Where will you spend eternity? And Arthur Stacey went off, took a piece of chalk out of his pocket, and wrote the word eternity upon the pavement there in Sydney. And for the rest of his life, every day people would get up in the morning, Sydney going out, they would find all over the city the word eternity written on the pavements. A reminder, a challenge. It's so important. Who can grasp eternity? And who can take in the awfulness of dying without Christ? Here we have time. Time is so short. What is your life? A vapor. Appears for a little time and then it's gone. But while you have the vapor, while the breath is still in your mouth, make sure that you seek the Lord and make your peace with Him. Make sure to be serving Him. There's 12 hours in the day. When the night comes, no man can work. Work while it is yet today, because the night cometh. Where will you spend eternity? And will your eternity be an eternity of regret at wasted opportunities? The end of all things is at hand. It's so close. Be ye therefore sober, temperate, restrained, not carried away, and watch unto prayer. Watch and pray. And then the apostle goes on to deal with practical exhortations. First he says, fervent charity. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. The first commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and all your mind. And the second commandment, the second greatest commandment is like it, but different. Love your neighbor as yourself. How can we do it? We can only do it by conversion. Fallen man loves himself. Self-love. Loves his own pleasures. Loves his own wealth. Loves his own prosperity. Loves what makes him feel happy. And sometimes giving and charity can make a person feel happy. And some people can be very charitable, very kind and very helpful. But that makes them feel good. And they're doing it because they feel good. Not because it makes God feel good or pleases God or glorifies Him. But you and I as Christians, for Jesus' sake, are to do this. For God's sake. We love Him because He first loved us. We love one another because He first loved us. Everything begins, everything good begins in God with God's love to us. So Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. John 13:34. As I have loved you, the same way as I have loved you, to the same extent, the same standard. How did He love us? He loved us so much that He died for us. How much are we to love one another? As much as that we're prepared to die for one another. Love each other unto death. Love each other in a self-denying, self-giving, self-sacrificing way. And there we have the great mark of the true Christian and of the Christian church. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, that ye love one another. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren and sisters. None of us can reach this standard, but it's a standard to which we are to aspire, to strive towards it, press toward the mark. Apprehend that for which also you were apprehended of Christ Jesus. Why did He apprehend us? He apprehended us so that we would love one another. Love Him and love one another. And be a loving family. And we're to strive towards that. To seek to grasp it. As you know, in the Greek there are three words for love. There's the word ergos, which means sexual love. That's very much a love of what we get, loving in order to possess the person that we love. And then there's the word filio, which deals with family love. Blood is thicker than water, and we have a concern for one another within the family and to support each other. But the word that's used here is the word agape, the word for God's love for the undeserving. And the love we are to have to one another is agape love. Not loving because people are good, but loving because we love. And for God's sake, and to glorify God. And in appreciation for what Christ has done for us. He loved us and He died for us. We are to love everyone that He loves, loving Him and loving all for whom He died. What a standard, and how much we need the grace of God. Have charity then, have love. And notice it says fervent, hot love, zealous love among yourselves. Be a loving Christian family, a loving church. And then he says, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Whose sins does the charity cover? Does charity cover your own sins? Or does charity cover the sins of the person you love? Well, the Roman Catholics, they say that charity covers your own sins. And if you're loving, and if you're charitable, then you get some merit that will take away your sins, or that will atone in some way for your sins. But no, the love that is spoken of here is the love for your fellow Christians, and the covering is the covering of their faults and their sins. Love covers up faults and sin. The word actually in Hebrew for atonement is kefir, and it has the idea of covering. But what does the covering? The blood of Jesus Christ covers. The work of our Saviour covers. That's the only covering for sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. No matter what good works we do, what love we show, that will not cover our sins. The only thing that can cover our sins is the blood of Christ. And there is no way that we can excuse our sins to God apart from the blood of Christ. What's written here actually is a quotation from Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sin. Now there you get the interpretation, don't you? Hatred. What does hatred do? Stirs up strife. Sees what people do in the worst way possible. Hatred remembers the sins of yesterday and the sins of last year and the sins of 10 years ago. Hatred remembers the faults of others and brings them to mind and reminds other people of them. Hatred uncovers sins, causing strife. But love covers over sins, covers over people's faults. Charity covers a multitude of sins. And we should be involved in covering over people's sins and faults and failings. Not setting up their sins in the worst light possible, but excusing their sins. Remember how Peter asked Jesus, "How many times shall I forgive my brother?" His brother obviously troubled him greatly. "Shall I forgive him till 7 times? And he thought it would be very good if he forgave his brother 7 offences. And Jesus said, "Forgive him till 70 times 7 offences. We're always to be forgiven. Forgiving people. Some people are very prickly. They're easily offended. And in dealing with them, you have, as it were, to walk on eggshells. It's not good to be like that. Think of 1 Corinthians 13. Charity beareth all things. Charity believeth all things. Charity hopeth all things. Charity endureth all things. Charity bears all things. Bears with people when they're difficult and awkward and troublesome and get on our nerves. Charity bears all things. Charity believes all things, believes the very best, tries to find a good reason why people have done what they have done, and believes the very best." So, there we have the rule for our conduct. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. There's real love. Be thick-skinned when other people are liable to offend you, but be thin-skinned and sensitive when dealing with other people, lest you should offend them. And in your love, cover over the faults of others, and be good at forgetting what other people do and how they've hurt you or had hurt others. Then thirdly, hospitality. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. In the ancient world, there were very few hotels. And the apostles and the evangelists would often be traveling around from place to place. They had no set salary. They were dependent on gifts and hospitality. And so they highly appreciated those who would provide them with accommodation. And also in the ancient world too, there was, just as in the Muslim world today, sometimes when a person became a Christian, they would be thrown out of the house. So hospitality was something good, to take in the homeless Christian. Open homes are a wonderful thing today, just as in the past. Maybe there was greater need in ancient times, but there's still need today in different ways. And it's good to have friendly, loving homes, to be providing and caring for others. There's many lonely people in the world, and it's good in our congregation here how there's quite a number of people who invite people to their homes and who show kindness and hospitality and generosity to people, especially to people who are on their own. We live in a selfish world, and it's easy to be selfish. And how wonderfully, therefore, love should shine in this world. Use hospitality without grudging. There are some people, and they maybe will overstay their welcome. And it's easy to be grudging. And we feel that they're very demanding sometimes, certain people. But maybe insensitive to the family and the needs of the family. And yet, use hospitality without grudging. But as it's put in Hebrews chapter 13, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. You know, there are angels going around. It's possible to entertain them in your home. Hospitable. That's the idea that's presented to us there. We must remember too what Jesus says about the judgment day. The end of all things is at hand, the judgment day. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was homeless and you took me in. I was sick and you visited me. You know, the Lord, He's looking for good works in our lives, and He's looking for fruitfulness from us. So, hospitality is one of these things where it shows. Use hospitality without grudging. And, you know, Christ is there going around in the skin of His people. And you take that one of the Lord's people maybe into your home, and what are you doing? But you're taking Christ into your home. And you're showing in that way love to the Lord that will be reckoned to your account on the judgment day. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Easy to be saving up for this world, but save up for heaven. And that's the way you save up for heaven. Use hospitality then one to another without grudging. Then verse 10, be a faithful minister. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Minister, the word that's used here in the Greek, diakonine, from which we get the word deacon or servant. Be a minister, be a servant. Be a servant to the Lord's people, be a servant to the church. Look for opportunities to serve. Be thankful for every opportunity that there is to do something for the Lord's people and for the cause of God. As every man hath received the gift. And every man receives certain gifts. Every woman receives certain gifts. Whoever you are, there are gifts. We receive gifts from the Lord of food, of clothes, of home, of money. These things are to be used from the Lord. We receive from the Lord gifts perhaps of time, gifts of sympathy, gifts of ways that we can support and encourage and help one another. Receiving God's grace ourselves, be gracious towards others. Be servants of others. Look for ways whereby you can be a help to other people. Whatsoever thy hand finds to do, do it with all thy might. Jesus says that even giving a cup of cold water to someone in the name of Christ will not be forgotten. Something so seemingly insignificant. Be a minister then to fellow Christians, and be a minister to the world too, showing in different ways your kindness to the world. It's amazing how even tiny little things can form bridges to the people around us. Where we are living there, most of the people around us are out working all day. So we often find the postman coming round and he gives us parcels for different people living in different houses. And so they come and they're thankful for us keeping our parcels, and it means that we don't have to go to the sorting office to get their parcels. Just a little thing like that. It's a little token. It's a little witness. And so many of these little things cost us money. It's so easy to do. And yet, we should always be open, friendly, kind, and helpful. And seeking always to say a word for the Lord and to be a witness on His side. So that takes us then to the next verse, verse 11. Speak as an oracle of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. The oracle means the mouth. So when you speak, teaching in the church, either formally or informally, speaking amongst your fellow Christians, concentrate on thus saith the Lord. This is the truth. Not our speculations, not our philosophies, not our ideas, but thus saith the Lord. I remember some years ago being visiting a family and getting involved in a political discussion. A bit of an argument. I felt so sad about it afterwards. That's not what we should be getting worked up about, politics or things of that nature. Let him speak as the oracle of God. What says the Lord? What's God's word for our neighbours, our friends? What's God's word for our fellow Christians? Speak as an oracle of God. Be a mouthpiece for the Lord. And in order to do that, we need to know our Bibles, to be studying the Scriptures, to be meditating on God's Word. Every one of us has to be a theologian in a certain way. Know the truth, study it, grasp it, and so you're able to share God's Word, God's life-giving Word, God's Word which is the sincere milk of the Word. Milk to feed a hungry soul. Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and with much assurance. A gospel coming from the oracle. And you and me seeking to speak as an oracle of God. And then finally, in ministry, in service, if any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. When it comes to ministering, to serving, do it because of the ability God gives. God gives you ability. Whatever ability gives, whatever opportunities, whatever time, do it aware that God is giving you these opportunities. And then, having done your ministry, give God the glory. It's not a matter of see how good I am, see what I've done. Think about me and praise me and thank me. No. As of the ability which God giveth. God gives us the ability, gives us the opportunity that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Always through Christ. Through the sacrifice of Christ, through the blood of Christ, through the intercession of Christ. So much we're able to do because Christ is interceding for us. Through Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. To God be the praise and the dominion, the glory forever and ever. Let God be exalted. Let God be magnified. Let us be nothing, and let Him be everything. What a lovely picture we have in the book of Revelation of the casting of crowns down at the feet of Christ. Let each one cast our crown at the feet of Jesus. Anything any of us are able to do, it's because of the Spirit of Christ which He has given to us. To Him be the glory.